This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. South Africans can look part, or rather look forward to the Illusionists Direct from Broadway show. It's a show of magic tricks, death-defying stunts, and acts of breathtaking wonder. We have got Canadian Darcy Oak joining us in studio today.
Darcy Oak.
Listen.
Darcy Oak.
Listen, I am particularly excited at all the possible trickery that we're going to see unfolding before us. I love this kind of thing because, number one, you know, initially you can't explain how it all works. And then you try and try and try, and then you just have to accept the brilliance for what it is. So, I don't know. Can we make you, like, disappear, Ben? I'm hoping that we can.
Why is that always your first wish?
You know, listen.
Whenever we have something like this, it's always your first wish. How can Ben disappear?
I don't know. Okay. I'm just putting it out into the universe.
Darcy, it's not because she doesn't like me. It's just that she gets bored of me.
Okay.
There's a bit of a difference. Wow, okay. Well,
that's not what she told me.
Nailed.
You can't be so transparent with people like this.
Darcy, welcome to Cliff Central.
Thanks for having me.
Yay.
Yeah, sorry, Darcy. There's meant to be another guy here, but he's not here today. So we're one short. But
no
as
worries.
The rest of the team, we're happy to see you.
Perfect. I'm happy to see you guys as well.
And I'm also surprised to see you. I'm not just saying it because it's a surprise.
All right. Darcy, let's hit the rewind button a little bit and let's take it back to when you were just 7 years old, which is when you were starting with your tricks.
Yeah. It's a funny story, actually. I was 6 or 7. My mom used to play bridge with her friends, so there was just a deck of cards sitting on the kitchen table.
Right.
And my dad's like, here, Darcy, pick one out. And he knows no magic, has zero magic experience, doesn't know a single trick.
Right.
And he asked me to pick a card, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, and he's like, here, take one. So I pulled one out, looked at it, I put it back in the pack, he shuffled them up, and he spread them out on the table, and he goes, without looking, I'm going to reach in, I'm going to pull out one card, and it'll be yours. And I was skeptical, but sure enough, he reached in, pulled one out, flipped it over, and it was mine.
Wow.
And I had no idea how to explain what happened, and he wouldn't tell me for like a month. And then I found out like a month later that it was just a 1 in 52 chance. It was a complete accident. Yeah. He knows no magic, just went for it. It happened to work out, and then it started me on this path. It's crazy to look back on that and think, like, what if that trick didn't work out, you know?
Yeah.
So it was like meant to be.
So that's incredible.
Your dad got lucky that day.
So it really kind of was meant to be, because since then your life has never been normal.
Exactly.
So to speak. Like your other friends are people the same age.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's been a never-ending journey since that moment, really, of just like, you know, I got fooled so badly, and it was that feeling of like, how did this happen? That immediately I wanted to be able to give that feeling to other people.
Okay, so where did it go from there? Did you start taking a deck of cards to school? Did you get like a little magic trick?
Yeah,
it was like your first steps there.
I'd get like a magic set for Christmas and stuff, and then you know, when I was like 10 or 11, I started doing like kids' birthday parties.
Yeah,
and then I'd start doing like company parties, and then I started, you know, just doing slightly bigger and bigger shows as time went on, and then you know, then it all sort of happened.
So what became the most daring thing that you did that you realized, like, I'm actually going to make a whole life of this? Because, I mean, like, those tricks, day-to-day stuff must have been cool.
Yeah.
But you probably still thought I had to do something, like a job or whatever.
I mean, that was my approach, was I have zero plan B, no fallback plan. Was like, I'm going for it. That's
so you
it.
Had to make it work.
Yeah. So what actually ended up happening was I went to university for 1 year after high school, and like I was failing everything because I was just focused on like on magic and learning and trying to book shows. And I found out a little trick that if you had any outstanding parking tickets, the university wouldn't send your transcripts to your parents. So I racked up all these parking tickets so my parents wouldn't get the transcripts. And then I told them after, I was like, this isn't for me. I'm making a run at this. And they supported me. And it was great. It was never for them. They were never like, you should get a real job. It was always like, when's your next show? What are you doing to get the next booking?
So cool.
Yeah, they were so supportive. It was. They're still kind of ticked about all those parking tickets, though.
I can't pinpoint the exact time at which you then started seeing a series of shows where magician's tricks and illusionist tricks started being explained to viewers and audiences.
Yeah.
I mean, is that the kind of thing that you guys, as the performers, kind of resent a little bit? Because, you know, part of the magic lies in, you know, the fact that your audience can't figure that thing out.
Well, that's the whole key to the entire art form, right? So when you have a guy who's putting on a mask and starts a TV show that's just exposing all these methods, you know, that, like, he was shunned in the community. Like, people were furious about that. But I kind of looked at it in a way like he was revealing stuff that had been done forever. You know what I mean? And it's I don't, like, accept what he did at all. I think it was brutal. But, like, you know, he was revealing stuff that, like, you know, guys were still doing, like, 30 years later. And, you know, and with YouTube and everything, the art forms progressed so much that, like, you gotta push the envelope now. And, you know, it was definitely not good for Magic, but I don't think it was, like, as... It wasn't horrendous. It didn't ruin the art form, you know what I mean? It's still... There's guys still pushing the envelopes, you know, working on new methods, never-before-seen stuff, and especially with all the access we have to, like, information on the internet and YouTube, you can develop some pretty crazy things that people can't explain and can't find the answers to.
Something I always think, like, do you believe you're part of a sort of special club? You're, like, almost like the X-Men of us normal people. Because, yes. because what you do is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
yeah. Like, well,
do you ever feel that?
It's funny because, like, you know, we were working on a show a while ago, and I had a magician consultant friend of mine with me, and we were chatting about the show, and there was somebody standing beside us that was like, I have no idea what you guys are saying. It's like you're speaking another language here, like talking about methods and moves and sleights and different things like that. They were just like, what are you talking about? But yeah, I mean, it's a close-knit community, and there's not a whole lot of people that are out there doing it, and everybody's, you know, pretty familiar with other people's work. And yeah, it's definitely a little group for sure.
And then within your group, do you guys ever get so impressed by your other peers that you think that, like, you start trying to figure out their tricks as well? You think, oh my goodness, how did he actually do that? I need to figure out how he did that.
Every once in a while that happens. It's super rare. Like, when you become a magician and, like, dedicate your life to it, you sort of forfeit your ability to be fooled. So, like, because you're constantly learning it, and you can see it in other people and what they're working on. It's inspiring to me too. Like, when I see, even when I know how it works, but I see a guy pull it off flawlessly, it's like nicely done. But every so often there'll be a guy that's worked on something that performs a piece that you're just like, wait, what? And that's rare, but it's special. I love it when that happens, because it doesn't happen very often.
Now, Darcy, you've done amazing things. You've performed all over the world. You got millions of views when you were on Britain's Got Talent. You're now on the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. It's amazing.
Boom.
Things.
Yeah.
But look, I have to say, I am such a British royal, like, addict.
Yeah.
And when I heard that you got to perform for the Queen a private dinner.
Yeah. Darcy, you've made his year by just sitting here.
Like, I think you're now the coolest
thing. I'll show you the picture after. It was one of those things, like, I wasn't allowed to post it or show it, so it's literally like, I have it. I just show it to everyone. I can't
so
put it out
cooler.
There, but yeah, it's...
Where was it?
In Windsor
Palace?
Castle.
Oh,
yeah,
my
yeah.
goodness.
So, like, the castle they actually live in, and, like, it was so surreal. It was like it was probably like the size of this.
Uh-huh.
And they were literally from, like, me to you, and it was the entire royal family. Yeah, it was like 80 people in the room. And then they invite all the staff from the castle in, which I thought was really cool, you know?
Yeah.
So they're all kind of standing at the back, and we did this show.
The peasants
and
standing at the back.
Yeah. But no, I could literally, like, I could see the Queen, like, 10 feet away from me while I'm performing. I was like, this is crazy.
Was she impressed?
Yeah.
There
yeah, I
we
think
go.
So. I hope so. But Prince Harry was the coolest. He's the coolest guy ever. He comes up to me. Like, there's a whole protocol after, right? So you stand in this, like, line, and I'm going to get it wrong here, but I think the rest of the family is Your Royal Highness, and then the Queen is Your Majesty or something.
Uh-huh.
You have to greet them in a certain way, and I was like, oh, they told me like 2 minutes before, like, this whole protocol. I'm like, I'm going to mess this up.
Oh, no.
And then Prince Harry comes through. He was the last one. Just I shouldn't say disregard to the protocol, but he just came up and he's like, dude, I watch all your stuff on YouTube. That was crazy. And I was like, oh, my God. And we chatted for like 5-6 minutes, and then at the end he's like, you know what, Darcy, just don't trash the place tonight, all right?
Like,
oh, man, you're like the coolest guy.
So have you been booked for a May return then?
Not yet. No, I'm still waiting on that call.
But, like, were they all pretty nice? Or was Philip like, ah, what is this nonsense?
No, they were so nice.
Was he, like, nodding off and going,
ah? Because he's a hobbyist magician.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a member of, like, the Magic Circle and whatever in London.
Kind of not surprised by that, actually.
Yeah.
He's almost like the Phil Dunphy of the royal family.
Wait a minute. Is it like an honorary member, or did he actually, like, make his way in, like, legitimately?
I asked him,
well,
and he said it was a combination of both.
Yeah.
He was turning tricks against his family from the start.
Yeah.
No, but it was amazing. Like, I'm just that whole situation was so surreal, and it was like, like I kind of became like a royal family sort of addict after that, because it was like, these are the real people, and they're were so nice and gracious, and now I just have this other image in my head of them. I was like, oh man, that was a bucket list item, and they made it so special. It's not like you went there and were like disappointed by meeting them. It was like more, you know how sometimes you meet people that you know you see on TV or you look up to, and you're just kind of disappointed by the interaction. This was the exact opposite. I left there and was like outside, like, oh my god. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
I think even just getting the call from Windsor Car, I would die.
You actually turn green with envy.
Yeah, it comes in like a formal envelope in the mail.
Of
like
course
the stamp
they mail
the, so
you,
I have
they
it like framed. And then the craziest thing was, after I got a letter in the mail from Prince Charles, who it was like a thank you letter, and it's signed by him, and it was like had specifics about the show. He was like, because I did the act that I did on Britain's Got Talent with the Birds, and there was like another room beside the dining room where we were performing, where I was like, the Birds were, and he pointed all of that out in the letter. He was like, oh, you know, your Birds were in the, I can't remember the name of the room, but, and it was just, I was like, man, this is, wow, this is crazy,
yeah,
you know?
But you do realize, because Camilla weren't alarmed to watch TV.
So, mean, he's making notes in
Lewis's mind.
Yeah.
So when you went into Britain's Got Talent, what was your sort of, did you have like a game plan, or did you just think like, look, I trust my tricks, I know exactly what I'm doing, all my illusions are pretty, they're all showstoppers? Or did you really kind of have to agonize on what you were going to do for that particular platform?
That's funny, actually. Essentially, like, I've seen guys go on those shows and think up a crazy idea, and like, oh, I'm gonna do this on something they've never done before.
Right.
And it's like, you can't just go and do something brand new on there. That was my approach anyway. So I was under the impression where I was like, I'm not going on there and trying something new. I'm gonna do what I know, you know, and just go for it. And I think that approach really worked out, because the guys you see that go on there that like sort of create something for that show, you can't have honed it. You know, you have to work a bit in front of the audience like a million times over before you know every single nuance in that routine and the ins and outs and all of that. And so that was my plan. I was like, and the three that I did on the show were, that was the beginning, the middle, and the end of the current show that I was performing. So I was like, oh, I'll just structure it like my live show. I'll do the opening, I'll do the middle, and I'll do the closer. And that was that.
And in order to get onto stage, what kind of a screening process did you have to, like, do it to, like, five people who then said, okay, well, let's have a look at it in front of 10 people?
So the way it actually worked out... Yeah, and I sort of didn't really discuss this during the time of Britain's Got Talent, but they reach out to people, and they ask people to come and do it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they get however many acts every year, right? So they have to, like, ask people to come in, otherwise, you know, they'd run out of performers. But so they asked me to do it, and I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do it. And they asked me like probably for a couple months, and then finally a guy called me, and because you know, you go and do one of those shows, and like the first one is pre-recorded, and then the last two are live. So the first pre-recorded one, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go do this, but like, how do I know if once I leave the building they're just going to take this footage and put like clown music underneath it and make me look like, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So I was like, I don't know like what they're going to do with it. It's totally out of my control after the performance. But so the guy I was talking to was kind of like, listen, like, magic's never really been kind of cool on any of these shows. And like, there was a guy on the year before who he didn't make it that far, but it was well received. And I think the producers of the show were like, oh, like, magic can be kind of cool, and we can make this something unique. So we chatted, and after a while, you know, I hummed and hawed for a bit, and I was like, oh, I may as well, you know. My main concern going into that was I was going to go on and, like, make a bird appear and just hear that X and just be like, oh. But literally what happened was I went out there, and, like, it was almost like I just tuned out, because I had rehearsed that act, like, and I'd been doing it for years, so I could do it, you know, with my eyes closed. So that was, you know, how much I had rehearsed it. And it was almost literally like an out-of-body experience. Like, I gave that little interview at the beginning, and then the next thing I kind of remember was just, like, the music ending and everybody standing up, and I was like, oh man, I guess that went good. Like, so yeah, it was wild. And then I was almost more at ease though doing the last two live performances when they were live on TV. It was more comfortable for me, because it was like, all right, if I kill it this time, then the people will, you know what I mean? There's nothing that can be misinterpreted when it's live.
Yeah. But what state of mind are you in while you're executing a trick on a live stage in front of a live audience with millions of people watching across the world? Because, I mean, part of your act is that you've got to look confident. You've got to convince. You've got to convince the audience that, hey, this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, what is your what's your heart rate doing? Like, are you sweating? Are is your mind going, please let this work? Please let this work.
No, I mean, I never really do any. I'll never really go and do something like and be worried about if it's going to work or not. Like, you got to know it's going to work, and if it doesn't work, it's because something random happened. You know what I mean? So, but magic's like the only art form where you practice over and over and over to hide your skill instead of display it. Like a singer will practice so that when they step out on stage.
Same with dancers, they really will show everything.
Yeah, yeah. But a magician is like, you know, you practice so it's hidden, so you don't see that secret move or you don't see that thing. So in reality, you've practiced like millions of hours to just look like it's completely normal.
Have you ever had any awkward moments where something doesn't work, or like a bird is meant to be revealed and it's dead?
No, definitely not that. No, definitely not that. But I always like to say magic never really fails; it only gets longer because the audience has no idea what's supposed to happen, right?
Yeah.
So you can use that in your favor, and if something is going to go wrong, the magician will usually know way before the audience. So it's like you can, if it's like something's going to happen. It never like happens like on the moment where the big reveal is supposed to happen. It's like, oh, this is something's, you know, and then you can fix it and work around it. But it's like sort of like a half awareness, I guess, because you have to be like, you know, present to connect with the crowd, but you also have to be aware of like the secret stuff you got to do. And it's it's sort of like a half present mindset where you're sort of in two places at once in your head, thinking about what you have to do and thinking about what the audience is seeing.
Mm.
Another thing that I'm always curious about someone in your position is, what is dating life like, relationship life, through the years? Because you, again, going back to what I think about being a part of like the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that you're different to us. I'm not saying that in a special parking sense, but your mind is just special very parking. Different. How has that worked out for you over the years?
Because
obviously, if you meet a girl and she's like, what do you do? You're not exactly going to say, oh, I work in HR. You know, like, like you're an illusionist. You're quite something.
Well, usually, too, if you're like, oh, what do you do? And if you say magician, 90% of the time, people will go, what instrument do you play? It's like, musician, magician, you know? Yeah. But, people ask me that all the time. Like, how does it work with the ladies?
I think first dates must be a hoot for you.
Well, see, the thing is, it's like, you can't use it like, you can't just be like, hey, I'm going to show you a magic trick. You know what I mean? It's like, in that situation, the way you have to approach it is like, it has to just appear to kind of happen. You know what I mean?
Like, but most guys would, because they'll get nervous and they feel like they would have to do that.
You got to hold out. That's the thing. The longer you hold out, and then when you hit them with something impossible, it's that's the way to do it. You can't come out guns blazing like, here, pick a card. You know?
Now, how many times out of 10 do you get asked, ooh, show me a trick, as soon as you say to yourself, well, I'm an illusionist?
10 times out of 10 times.
Does that become annoying?
See, that's
a little.
That's how Mabelli wanted to start the interview.
Yeah. No, but I'm going to show you guys something. But the way I sort of see it is like, you know, if you meet someone and they're like, I'm a singer, you're not really like, sing me a song.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
No, we also do that here.
No, but I mean like out in public or whatever, you know, when you're just interacting with someone. But it's like, it's weird that, well, I guess because like people don't see magic very often. So when you tell them you're a magician or illusionist, they're like, oh, can you show me something? Mm. Like, it's not like them trying to be annoying or anything. It's people just really want to see something impossible.
And then do you also get those people who are like, no, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure out how you do it. And then they want to like step up to you and say, no, I know how he did it. He did it.
There's two types of people in every audience. And there's the people who believe and they don't want to know and they just want to enjoy the experience of being fooled. And then there's the people who want to figure everything out.
Yeah.
And the people who want to figure everything out, it's funny because like, you know, 90% of the time they'll come up after and be like, oh, I know how you did it. And they'll rifle off some method that's way wrong. And that's like the biggest compliment to me, you know, when you get one of those skeptical people that's sitting there trying to pick apart everything and like, I know how you did it. And they say something that's just like, what? Like, it's so wrong that you're like, oh, it's like double bluffed them, you know, got them twice.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, they actually can't, because people who have control issues, they must hate seeing what you do. And then it really boggles the mind to things like just dark arts or this or that. You don't actually have any superpowers, do you? You just apply your mind in a certain way.
Oh,
you
gotta wait and see.
I'm becoming to sound like that person.
I know.
But like, you obviously watch other people, as you said. You know, it's like anything. You want to improve your craft by learning from others. Are there particular people out there who you can't wait to see do new material or do things?
There's definitely a few guys I love to see like what they've come up with. But for me, it's like super important not to like be inspired, or not inspired, but not to like copy other magicians. Sure. Like, you know, with YouTube and stuff, people, magicians will tend to be like, oh, I saw that guy get a great reaction with this, so I'm going to do that. And little do they know that that guy has spent, like, years and years of his life, mm-hmm. like, perfecting that thing. And for some guy to just see it and be like, oh, that was good, I'm going to do it, is like, ah. And that's like, a big problem in the magic community, especially with YouTube. So, like, some guys try to, like, hold off on, like, posting their stuff online because, like, once somebody, like, you can't copyright the methods, you know? So it's, like, a real gray area within the magic community of the ethics of, like, you know, people taking stuff from other magicians, and it can become really, really annoying. It's the worst when you've spent your whole life working on something and then you just see another guy doing it. It's just like, oh, my.
So we don't mean to sound like those people, but
show me a trick.
Show me a trick.
So speaking of which, all right.
Okay, so Dusty, do you mind if I film?
Yeah.
You're gonna go ahead because we've got this. We've got this 360 camera. So whenever someone special comes in,
you gotta film in 360.
So if you ever come for an interview on Cliff Central right here and you see the camera,
know that you've made
you're
it.
A big deal.
All right. Okay.
All right. So my wallet's been sitting here the whole time.
Uh-huh. Has it though, Darcy?
It has. You can check the 360 footage.
Why is my heart starting to pound already?
Calm down. Okay. Any press report
calm down, calm down.
So before I came in here, I took out one card from a deck of cards. I folded it up into a quarters, and I put it in my wallet. You can tell, obviously, there's not 52 cards in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you you play cards? You're familiar with the deck of cards?
Yeah.
Good. I want you to think of one.
Okay.
Not a joker, though. Think of like, mm-hmm. one you would play with. Is it the Queen of Hearts?
Stop it! Yeah. Stop it! Wait, how was he? No, I don't like that. Okay.
Which is kind of funny. I would have gone with that because I know you, but you guys just met.
Yeah, I was even singing a song of the Queen of Hearts that I know. Okay.
All right. Okay. New one. New card. Mm-hmm. Not the Queen of Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Ace of Spades this time either.
No.
Okay, good. What card are you thinking of?
Am I meant to say now?
Yeah.
Okay, Seven Hearts.
Seven of Hearts.
Yeah.
So my wallet's been sitting here the whole time, right?
It really has been.
It has. Haven't touched it.
Yeah, okay. Look. All right, now you're touching it. Now you're opening it up.
What card did you say?
Oh, no.
I'll check it out. I had the Six of Hearts.
Oh.
Look on the back.
Off by one. No!
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Okay, then. All right.
And just for verification purposes, a man is also sold on this.
Yeah.
All right, here. I got another one for you.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, so my freak is already
phone number in people's pockets like that.
Okay, you know what? I think you and the birthday boy this time,
yes,
right? Like
someone
you and
else
Ben.
Needs to take it. My freak is free.
All right, we've got a couple of normal deck here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll just use the top card here, the Two of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Just hold your hand up.
Ben, do you want to do this one? Take over this one.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I always like watching you freak out.
My hand is like even shaking at this point. Okay.
Two of Diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
Put your other hand on top. Check it out. This is going to be quick.
Okay.
I've got the Ten of Spades.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Two of Diamonds. I've got the Ten of Spades. Watch how quick this sleight of hand can happen. Look. Look.
No! Oh.
Take a look.
No.
I don't want to look anymore. Oh, no.
He's trembling.
No. Okay. So, no.
Wait, how did that happen?
Sleight of hand.
Oh, that is crazy.
That wasn't his sleight of hand. You literally tapped his hand with a card.
And the card switched.
Hand
they
is quicker than the eye. It's quicker than the eye.
What are you doing with my hands?
Pull one out. Take one.
Can you do that with money bills as well?
I got your wallet. I have your wallets and your phones.
Okay. Pick another card.
Yeah, anyone. Okay. Actually, you know what? Here, if you want, you can shuffle them up. You can pick your favorite card.
Sia, you don't know how to shuffle. Okay.
I can't even shuffle right now.
Do it, okay.
Let's try this.
That's all right.
Shuffling it again.
All in the wrist.
Mabele Molo, you can choose a card.
Oh, can I?
Yeah. Take one out.
All right.
Oh, I don't want you to think this is rigged or anything. So
yes.
Totally fair. Right. You shuffled. You pulled one out.
Do I look at it?
Yeah, look at it. Don't forget it. Otherwise, the end of the trick's brutal. Show it around. Show it to the camera so everyone at home can see too.
Okay.
I won't look. I'll look away.
Okay. I know what that is.
All right.
And then here, let's get everyone involved. Actually, you know what? Here, we'll do that in a sec. Just say stop whenever you want.
Stop.
I'll go slow. Sorry.
Stop.
Just pop it back right there.
Okay.
Everybody's putting her card back.
You remember it, right?
Yes, I do.
I know what it is.
Yeah, we've got witnesses.
This is a lot.
This is how quick it happens. Look, the sleight of hand. Give it a little shake. One card. Jumps to the top, the Ten of Clubs.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Was that not it?
No.
Was that your card?
No.
Wasn't it?
That wasn't my card.
What card was it?
So should I say?
Yeah, say it.
It was the Six of Spades.
Six of Spades? Look.
Yeah.
give it a shake. Turns into the Six of Spades.
Okay.
All right, but I don't want you to think, though, that, like, there's a whole deck of Six of Spades or we have more than one. Just so you know that there's only one Six of Spades. Here, I'll give you the... I'll give it to one of you guys if you could just scribble something on it.
Okay. All right, someone should sign it.
Don't make it rude.
Draw something dirty on there.
Does that mean to be another heart?
It's a heart with horns.
Okay. It's a horny heart.
Do you want this back, Dawson?
Yeah, yeah. So now, obviously, there's only one card like this in the world, right? You haven't signed another Six of Spades
I've
like this.
I've never seen a heart with horns. That's why I drew it.
There you go. Interesting choice. We place it like halfway in the pack. I give it a little shake. Jumps right back to the top. See, we'll take your Six of Spades. The heart
is moments away from fainting.
With horns, right? Heart with horns, Six of Spades. We'll put it right there away from me so I can't touch it. We'll put the deck in your hand.
Your hands are moving too fast now.
Check it out.
They're really
okay,
nice.
Okay.
We'll go nice and slow. Hold your hands up.
Alrighty.
Put the deck in your hand. Take your other hand. Cover up the deck.
Okay.
Death grip. Okay. Don't let me get anywhere near the deck.
Really am not like squeezing
Perfect.
For my life.
Getting serious. Swing your hands this side.
So you shuffled the pack, right?
Yes.
You picked one.
Yes.
You signed it.
I did, and I'm watching
and
like a
hawk. It's been sitting there.
Yes,
right?
It has.
Six of spades with the heart with horns. Look.
Oh wait.
Check it out. If I just give it a little rub, hold on, nice and tight. Hold on, nice and tight. Don't let me get anywhere near the deck. But I give it a little rub. Keep holding on to that. Look, because the ink, you can actually pull it right off. Hold on, nice and tight though, nice and tight. Look, check it out. Because watch this, look.
Oh my gosh.
Look, hands are empty. Right?
Okay.
If I reach
in. I think
in,
I need a diaper change, wait a minute.
Just loosen up a tiny bit. I'm going to pull out one card.
Okay.
One card.
All right.
Okay, nice and tight. Okay, you got it?
Yeah.
Right.
Do not let go of that deck because look, one card, card only.
Oh!
But check this out. Watch this. You've been holding the deck the whole time. For the
he
finale.
Pulled out the horny heart card.
For the finale, I'm going to make the deck disappear right between your hands. You ready?
No, that's not going to happen.
Look,
Calm down, Sia.
You ready?
Yeah.
It's gone. Do you believe me?
Oh, I can still feel it between my hands.
You don't believe me?
Oh, Lord.
Take a look.
No, I don't want to.
Do it.
Oh, my God, I'm holding it.
Oh, my gosh. There is nothing but a Perspex cube in his hand now. He had a deck of cards. We're all staring at it. There's now nothing but a Perspex cube.
No way.
That is unreal.
No. No.
Yeah, can I hold that, please?
It's a proper Perspex cube.
Oh, my gosh. This was a deck of cards.
Oh, wait. My eyes are watering.
So that's it. They're gone.
I got to get a new deck now.
I can't.
Wait, when
this.
Did that change?
It happened in your hands.
Not Darcy, I'm dead.
Are you actually a magician's assistant?
I can't. I wish I would have worn a sequenced outfit to be a proper magician's assistant here.
Darcy, it must never get old. Everywhere in the world, no matter the language, the background, people have the same reactions we just had now.
Exactly. It's the universal language.
We can't control it. Like, our eyes are just...
Well, and that's what's so amazing about the art form is that it literally puts every walk of life on the same platform. It doesn't matter if you're a billionaire doctor or you're living wherever. People react the exact same way. When somebody sees something impossible that they can't explain, everybody is the same. And that there's something about it that, you know, that's really special. You don't get that in a lot of stuff, in a lot of art, you know?
I don't know. I do not know. I now think he can read my thoughts.
No, I'm just freaked out.
Wow. Darcy, that is amazing. And Gareth Cliff is here.
Hey!
Yay. You missed all the pandemonium.
Sorry.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, Gareth.
That was insane. Absolutely insane.
There we go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yeah, there was an orange truck on the N1 that turned over. There were helicopters. It was a disaster. 2.5 hours in traffic. It's great. This is how some people have to spend their days.
Horrible, Gareth.
I might as well not come this morning. Happy birthday, Ben.
Oh, happy birthday,
Gareth,
Ben.
Gareth, have you stayed at my cake yet?
Stayed at my cake.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so this to me is also an illusion. I think it's just an ordinary cake, but it's been made so much better.
No, that's absolutely amazing.
That's pretty impressive cake.
Look, I'm totally out of words. See, we got Cindy Nell next.
Yes. Well, the only magic trick that I know with the cake is that we'll just, like, scoff it down our throats and it will disappear.
In record time.
Yeah. Mr. Darcy, thank you so much for coming through this morning. This is crazy.
Listen, and if you want to see The Illusionist direct from Broadway, and I highly recommend that you do, we can catch you at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. Is that correct?
Yeah. For about a month straight, we're opening on Valentine's Day. So it's going to be great.
Fantastic. Oh, okay.
Yeah, very, very cool. I just to look at Tia's face when I walked in. Completely blown away by what's happening here.
This is CliffCentral.com.